Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 534. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hello, Mitchell.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired.
I know.
Happy but tired.
It's been a summer of first world problems. Yeah, it's as I was about to say, we have some high class problems when you've had this extraordinary. You've had an extraordinary 2013.
I have. I mean,
we talked about all your wonderful Caribbean
for 4 months. Was home. Went to New York for a fabulous adventure. Was home for a little bit. Did super fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Went to concerts and the summer hit and went to the beach and rode my bike. And then I took off. I think last time I was on, we talked about the fact that I was heading out on this road trip to the East Coast, and I drove from Chicago with my friend Pat. We got in the car on a Saturday night at 3 in the morning and drove.
3 in the morning?
We left at 3 in the morning.
Holy shiminy.
And he had just come from a wedding. Like, he went to a wedding.
Good Lord.
Packed up the car and then came and got me. And we drove about 13 hours till we got to Western Pennsylvania, at which point, I kid you not, I'll send you a picture of this just to prove how beautiful it was. We decided to stay, just sort of crash for one night at Pat's sister's boyfriend's family's lake house.
Okay. In Western Pennsylvania.
Western Pennsylvania.
The most gorgeous. I mean,
Northwestern,
I've lived in
basically
in
like a lake house in the mountains, right? So
gorgeous.
So I kid you not, we drove 13 hours. Pat drove like 7.5. I drove like 5.5. And he's younger. He has to drive more. Just, we had a blast. It was like the quickest. If 13 hours can be quick, it was a quick, just like conversation and music and fun. Like, the people were like, wow, that's a long time. It was a blast. So even the driving was a blast. No traffic, no bad weather.
Yep, yep.
It was gorgeous. Sunrise.
Yep.
I mean, just gorgeous. And we pull up to their lake house, which is in literally east nowhere, right?
Yep.
A dirt road to get to the house. And it was the most beautiful. I mean, that's how it started. And we just got out of the car, and 10 minutes later, we're literally in the lake, swimming, fishing, cocktail.
Best night of sleep you've had in
your
life. It
just crashed out. We got up super early in the morning at like 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we got to the lake house around 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Were they there?
They were there. The whole family was there.
So you had
We didn't even. I hadn't even met most of the people who were there. I hadn't even met TJ's parents. Alex and TJ were the couple that we knew. They couldn't have been more lovely.
Yep.
So into it. And then TJ's brother and his wife. And so then we leave at 4 in the morning. We drive to the Cape. And then boom, my week begins on Cape Cod, right? So
before you tell us about the week in Cape Cod, we should just say that in last time we had Mitchell on the show, we were talking about me going back home. And this was a trip of you kind of going back home, because you tend to go back to your roots after you finish these gigs.
I do tend to go back
annually.
I'm from
Rhode
Island, but you know, Massachusetts, the Cape is an hour and a half from where I grew up, so it's
your neck of the woods, like your people,
my
where your
ground.
People come from,
exactly.
Your
we,
stomping
we
ground.
We eat lobster rolls
yeah.
and Dell's lemonade, if anyone knows what that is, and And so,
but you had a purpose. You had something that was kind of the
impetus.
The impetus for this trip, and I want you to kind of set that up, and then we'll break and do the news, and then we'll come back because you were heading here to do something so significant,
really
so
special
this year, which was what?
I introduced two friends of mine about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. An actress friend of mine and an actor friend of mine, both wonderfully smart, gorgeous people, and then they decided to get married. And
not
Amy,
immediately, not right when you introduced them.
No, no, no.
Hi, would you like to get married? Let's get married.
So about 6 years ago this happened, and Amy, the woman, is from Lexington, Mass.
Okay.
And so her family spent summers in on the Cape. If you've never been to Cape Cod, everybody, it's truly one of the most naturally beautiful places on the planet. You know, mm-hmm. it's that peninsula that comes out of Massachusetts mm-hmm. and sort of swoops around, you know.
And Provincetown is the tip
the
end
very
of
tip, right? The very tip of it. I mean, so it's a sort of a bitch to get there.
So
and
it's kind of like the shape of a banana.
Right, a banana
or a
that sort of
or
scoops up.
Scoops up.
Scoops up northeast, right? So it's
right. And the tip is
Provincetown,
so you have to go the whole end.
Right, which is the gayest place in the world.
Right.
Now, there are ferries that go from Boston right to Provincetown,
mm-hmm.
But it can be sort of a bitch to get there.
Yeah, and then the whole thing is called the Cape, like the
right,
whole
the Cape,
inside
right. Cape Cod.
This whole sea or the whole...
Cape Cod as in the fish cod, right?
Yeah.
So we drive, I end up staying at this house. Well, so I introduced them, they decided to get married. Amy spent summers there, so they decided to get married in Wellfleet, which is mm-hmm. like a town away from Provincetown.
Okay.
So it's really at the very end of the Cape. And they asked me to officiate the wedding. Mm. So I had a lot of responsibility.
So, because we're going to break from the news, but I want to find out, had you ever officiated
nope.
a wedding before? And did you have to go get some sort of certificate to be able to officiate a wedding?
Well, that's a funny story. I did. I thought that I had already done that. I sort of went online and did that sort of like online ordination. You don't actually need that in Massachusetts. What you need is this whole other thing that Amy and John discovered the Thursday before I left on this road trip.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was a little bit of a last minute, like, oh shit, you have to get like a one special 1 day designation from Deval Patrick, the governor of
yes.
Massachusetts.
Yes.
And so that happens. So yes, you have to legally be allowed to marry people.
In Massachusetts being the first place that the gays can marry too.
Yes.
So it's a cool place to have
right.
openly gay.
And to do it just outside of Provincetown.
With Deval Patrick's seal of approval,
yeah.
Mitchell Fain.
Marrying a
straight couple.
Yeah, it was glorious. I spent a week, the bride and groom rented a house called Hedgebound. It's sort of a famous house. Like if you're from that area and you said, oh, we're staying in Hedgebound, people go, oh, it's this gorgeous, gorgeous old house with probably like 15 bedrooms and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And just stunning, stunning, stunning with rose gardens and this like sloping backyard. You just can't believe how lovely it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cartoon of New England.
Mm-hmm.
And so the groom's family stayed there, the bride's family stayed there, and me.
Oh,
so it was
wow.
a lot of socializing. It was a lot of getting to know parts of the family that I didn't know. And of course, they were all curious because, like, who's this person marrying our beloved Amy and John? And so there was a lot of hanging out and going to the beach and group dinners and, you know, going to the fish market and getting steamers, which are
mm-hmm.
steamers. It's very New England, steamed clams, which are very different from, like, getting mussels in a restaurant. It's
mm-hmm.
a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was lots of New England-ness, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
we're going to go get clam cakes, and we're going to go get lobster rolls, and we're going to go
mm-hmm.
do all those New England-y things and go into Provincetown and shop and get saltwater taffy. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, just like all the New England things. And a bunch of people went fishing.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people went fishing, and they caught so much fish that we literally had more than enough fish for the entire week, and then for almost everyone to take some home.
Wow.
They caught so much. And one of the things with this chartered fishing boat, private chartered fishing boat, is that they then clean the fish for you. So you catch it all, but then you don't have to deal with the gross part.
Oh.
And you just bring home these like fresh fish fillets that you get
yeah.
to like cook. So it was just glorious. And then the wedding.
That was in the middle of your trip, right? The wedding was kind of in the middle. You drove there.
It was the beginning. So it drove overnight, boom, Pennsylvania. And then, you know, by the next day I was in the Cape. So got to there. Cape Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
right? Got to the Cape Monday afternoonish, and then was on the Cape until that next Sunday.
Okay, because the wedding was the following weekend.
Right, the wedding was on Friday. There was a post-wedding day on Saturday. It was super, super, super fun. Hanging out in P-Town, Provincetown, which is not Providence for people who are not from the East Coast. It's Providence, capital of Rhode Island, and Provincetown, which is the tip of Cape Cod. And then the next leg of my trip began.
All right, well, we're going to come back because I want to hear lots of details about the lead up to the wedding and your role in it. And I just think it's so super cool to have been asked to do this and just to hear what your experience was.
And what Provincetown is like these days.
And what P-Town is like, because I was maybe going to go there this summer, but I've opted to go somewhere else, which I'm getting ready to head off to somewhere else. But anyhow, so we'll be back. We're going to tell you what's going on in the news and more. And Mitchell Fain taking us to the Cape and taking us to New England on this QueerCast.
Be a part of history. History being made in your own backyard. Attend the March on Springfield for Marriage Equality, October 22nd, 2013. Demand that our lives be counted, our voices be heard, as the Illinois State House returns for their first day of the fall veto session. A vote for marriage equality could happen in October or November, so let's show up and demand equal protection under the law. You can help make Illinois the 14th state in the U.S. to support marriage equality. Plus, it will be the biggest GLBT party in the state this year. To get involved and get information on the march, visit marchonspringfield.org. Bring your friends, family, and your sassy self, and let's march for equality in Springfield this October 22nd. Visit marchonspringfield.org.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. An Iowa community is reeling after a teen suicide, the sixth at the local high school over the past 5 years. Alexander A.J. Betts Jr., 16, was reportedly subjected to intense bullying at Southeast Polk High School because of his sexuality. He came out as gay about a year and a half ago, and his mixed-race background. Four Southeast Polk teens took their own lives in 2008, while a 17-year-old followed suit in December 2009.
A Southern California man who taught at a Catholic high school for 17 years was fired days after he married his partner. Teacher Ken Bencomo, age 45, and partner Christopher Persky, 32, married the day after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled a ban on same-sex marriage as unconstitutional. On July 12th, Bencomo was notified that he was being terminated because his marriage violates the church's teachings.
In Alabama, a judge has granted Chelsea Hughes, a lesbian mother of four, full visitation rights with her children, reversing a lower court's decision barring the woman's partner from being present during visits. The state's so-called paramour restrictions prevent unmarried partners from spending the night during custody visits, a challenge for blended same-sex families in the state where gay marriage isn't legally recognized. Hughes' ex-husband had previously denied her access to her children because of her sexual orientation.
Secretary of State John Kerry announced that the U.S. will immediately begin issuing immigrant visas to same-sex couples. Kerry said the applicants will be given the same consideration as heterosexual couples, as long as the marriage is valid in the jurisdiction, either U.S. or foreign country where it took place. It is valid for immigration purposes, the State Department issued in the statement. An engaged couple who cannot marry in the foreign fiancé's country can apply for a visa.
In Illinois, a Cook County Circuit Court judge heard oral arguments August 6th in a motion to dismiss a lawsuit brought about last year on behalf of 25 couples seeking the right to marry in Illinois. Darby versus Orr and Lazaro versus Orr were filed against Cook County Clerk David Orr in mid-2012. Lambda Legal and ACLU Illinois are representing the plaintiff. Orr, who is in favor of marriage equality, has refused to defend the state's marriage ban, so the Thomas More Society, a conservative law firm, is representing five opposing county clerks in the matter. Judge Sophia Hall said she would issue her ruling about the dismissal on September 27th.
It turns out Jeff Bezos, the Amazon.com founder and CEO who recently made news by purchasing the Washington Post for $250 million, is a strong proponent of same-sex marriage. He pledged $2.5 million to support a referendum on same-sex marriage last year in the state of Washington, where he lives. The referendum passed.
AIDS activist Sean Sasser has died at age 44. Sasser entered the American consciousness as Pedro Zamora's boyfriend on MTV's The Real World San Francisco in the early 1990s. Sasser died of mesothelioma, a rare cancer of the lungs linked to a weakened immune system in some people with AIDS.
In fewer than 2 weeks, an Oregon petition drive to put the issue of same-sex marriage before voters next year has gathered more than one-third of the signatures needed to reach the ballot box. If successful, the referendum would reverse the state's 2004 voter-approved constitutional amendment limiting marriage to heterosexual couples, making Oregon the first state to do so.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the first rapid HIV test for the simultaneous detection of HIV-1 p24 antigen, as well as antibodies to both HIV-1 and HIV-2 in human serum, plasma, and venous or finger stick whole blood specimens. These tests does not distinguish between antibodies to HIV-1 and HIV-2 and is not intended for the screening of blood donors.
President Barack Obama named 16 recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. African-American civil rights activist Bayard Rustin and astronaut Sally Ride are members of the GLBT community who are being honored posthumously. Some other honorees are former U.S. President Bill Clinton, talk show queen Oprah Winfrey, activist Gloria Steinem, and singer Loretta Lynn. The awards will be presented at the White House later this year.
In world news, Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe has won a seventh term in office, officials say, amid claims of electoral fraud. Mugabe, who is 89 years old, won 61% of the vote. Mugabe is virulently anti-gay and recently told a group of people that gay men should be decapitated if they cannot conceive children.
Rodrigo Borda and Sergio Mirando, who have been together 14 years, became the first same-sex couple to register for marriage in Uruguay on Monday, August 5th. Uruguay passed legislation to legalize same-sex marriage in April, becoming the second South American country after Argentina to have marriage equality.
SPI Group, which owns the Luxembourg-based vodka brand Stolichnaya, has modified its employee non-discrimination policy to include protections for sexual orientation, although not for gender identity. A boycott of Russian products followed the Eastern European nation's adoption of a ban on so-called gay propaganda, the refusal to allow gay and lesbian international citizens to adopt orphan Russian children, and a series of violent demonstrations against the country's LGBT community in recent months.
President Obama will not meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in September after the G20 summit in St. Petersburg, Russia. The one-on-one meeting was canceled due to a lack of progress on issues like missile defense, arms control, trade and commercial relations, global security issues, and human rights and civil society.
In entertainment news, Sacha Baron Cohen will not be portraying Freddie Mercury in an upcoming biographical film. The project would have seen Cohen play Mercury in an era surrounding Queen's performance at the 1985 Live Aid benefit concert. Cohen has withdrawn from the project, citing creative differences. He wanted a grittier treatment of Mercury, who died of AIDS in 1991.
Transgender filmmaker Lana Wachowski is collaborating with brother Andy on the new film Jupiter Ascending. The sci-fi movie stars Mila Kunis, Eddie Redmayne, and Channing Tatum.
Adding Men has boosted the ratings for the show America's Next Top Model. I know I'm watching it again. The reality series premiered to its largest audience in 2 years and gave the CW its best Friday ratings in more than a year.
Sir Elton John, 66, is recovering at his home in Nice, France after undergoing surgery to remove his appendix. Last month, the singer was forced to cancel a series of summer shows after being diagnosed with appendicitis, including a headline gig in London's Hyde Park. John is next set to receive the inaugural Brits Icon Award in September and perform at the second annual iHeartRadio Musical Festival in Las Vegas on September 20th.
Montreal's Oceaga Music Festival drew more than 135,000 people with acts such as The Cure and Beck, but it was the Macklemore and Ryan Lewis show that really had people talking. Before they began their marriage equality hit Same Love, Macklemore introduced his special guests for the song, lesbian twins Tegan and Sarah, to sing the chorus.
Kristen Chenoweth may play the lead in Hello, Dolly! On Broadway. This will be the first time Dolly's been revived since Carol Channing, who starred in the original 1964 production, brought her farewell tour to New York City's Lunt Fontaine Theater in 1996.
Actress Amber Tamblyn will join Two and a Half Men this fall as Jenny, the lesbian illegitimate daughter of the late Charlie Harper, played by Charlie Sheen. Tamblyn joins the cast just 4 months after the show announced Angus T. Jones would not be returning as a series regular.
The Madonna MDNA World Tour concert film will be released September 10th on DVD and Blu-ray, as well as a digital album. The MDNA Tour was widely considered the most successful single tour of 2012, entertaining more than 2.2 million fans.
And actress Karen Black, best known for her roles in film classics such as Easy Rider, Five Easy Pieces, and Nashville, died August 8th from complications of cancer at age 74. In 1982, in Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean, Black portrayed the transgender character of Joanne alongside Cher and Kathy Bates. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey! Hey, everyone! It's Judy Gold. And I know you know this already, but you're on the Windy City Queercast. Don't leave.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of August 12th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Main Stage presents the Kinsey Six in America's Next Top Bachelor, Housewife, Celebrity, Hoarder, Makeover Star, Gone Wild. America's favorite drag acapella beauty shop quartet celebrates their 20th anniversary. Friday, August 16th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 5:30 and 9:30 p.m. Doors open for that one at 8:30 at Main Stage, 1328 West Morris Avenue. For tickets and info for the Kinsey Six, visit mainstage.com. That's M-A-Y-N-E stage.com. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Well, I was born in the sign of water, and it's there that I feel my best. The albatross and the whales, they are my brothers. Kind of a special feeling when you're out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover.
You had headed off to Massachusetts to marry this straight couple that you had been the Yenta.
I'm the Yenta.
You're the Yenta. Are you impressed with my Southern Methodist that I know
what
a Yenta
is? It's funny because we were trying to figure out there was a word for a male Yenta, right? Like, Yenta is funny because Yenta is actually the name of the matchmaker from Fiddler on the Roof, but it's become a word that means matchmaker. But Yenta, we actually all thought, even the Jews, because John's family is Jewish, so his dad and I were trying to figure out if there's such a thing as a yento, right? And then we realized that there is no, that yenta doesn't even mean matchmaker.
Yeah.
It's just the name of that character that, that has become associated. So,
that's,
and we had
funny.
A whole discussion about that.
That's, oh, how funny.
Which is really funny. Marrying Amy and John was extraordinary for me because I love these two people very, very much. It wasn't something that I kind of only knew the groom, but I was friends with the bride, or I kind of only knew the bride,
but
I was friends.
No, you knew them both.
They're very, very, very dear friends, and they're really great people. And I said, you know, what do you want from the summer? I said, we don't care. I'm like, do you want a traditional? We don't care. I'm like, do you want to know what I'm going to write? No, we don't care. What should I wear? We don't care. Does it matter what cut? We don't care. Like, they just left it so open-ended. All they asked was that I kept it kind of short because it was summer, and we thought either if it was either raining, we'd want to keep it short, or if
hot.
It was super hot, nobody wants to be sweating. I said, you know, keep it 15, 20 minutes tops. the whole service.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, they're not of any religious background.
No,
they felt like
not.
They were going to get married outside and on the beach. And,
exactly. Literally, when I tell you on the beach,
yeah.
I'm telling you on the beach. So what happened was the day of the wedding, there was some concerns about the weather. All week, it was ridiculously gorgeous. And we kept seeing, storms. So everybody's watching every day. We're all watching the weather. But like most coastal places, the weather changes.
Yeah.
With a snap of a finger. The day of the wedding, it was, the feeling was stormy, but it never stormed. It never rained. Mm. So it had this breeze that was cool, but it made the water, which is generally calm where they got married, have white caps.
Mm.
And because there was no sun, the pictures are extraordinary because there's no, you know, anybody who's ever had their pictures taken know that you don't want sun outside because it makes shadows. So there's no shadows because there was no sun. So there was this literally electricity in the air, right? Because there was a storm a-coming the next day, but it did not hit that day at all. So literally this wind and white caps. And when I tell you, it was at a yacht club on the boat slip. That's where they got married,
push
your boat in. So literally, as I'm speaking with my back to the ocean, there's water lapping at the feet of the bridesmaids and groomsmen. Right? That's how close we were. And there were, you know, it was windy and gorgeous.
How big a wedding did they have?
It was very small.
There
was probably about 100 people.
Okay. That's still a good size.
It was. And for dinner was lobster. I mean, you walked up and you got a big ass steamed lobster just plopped on your plate. And like all real New Englanders, you got a little plastic lobster bib. It's funny because you can sort of tell people who have never really had lobster because they think they're too cool for bibs, right? Like the bib is nerdy. You don't want to be shown up as a tourist. So you don't wear the bib. That's not how it works. People who actually eat lobster know that you wear the bib because otherwise you're going to be a mess.
Yes, yes.
So the bib is actually just practical. They have a kitschy picture of a lobster on it everywhere you go. But you need to wear the bib.
So now, is John from this area as well?
John is from New Jersey.
Okay, so he's from...
East Coast.
Coast.
It's interesting because I, you know, as far as the ceremony goes, you know, here I am. And one of the things I said was obviously it's not all about me, but they did ask me to do it. So there's some element of it being me. And one of the things I said was, by the way, in the middle of the week leading up to the wedding, DOMA fell.
Oh, right.
Right. And so it's so funny because I'm in this house with all of these people, these family members that I don't know, different generations. There's literally like 8-year-olds and like 70-year-olds, right?
Right. And you probably were not the only homosexual at the wedding, right?
I wasn't the only homosexual at the wedding, but I was only a homosexual in the house.
Okay.
Right? Well, that we know of. And shout out to you, Will. No, I'm kidding. That's John's brother. He's cute. He's like 20. So I said... In the ceremony, I said, it's a very interesting time this week to be marrying someone, to be talking about marriage. I said, I'm a gay man marrying a straight couple a stone's throw from Provincetown, which is traditionally one of the most famous gay
communities,
safe communities in the world.
Right.
And has been for generation. And I said, what's interesting is that with DOMA falling, that what I'm thinking about is that it's not about the right to marry someone. It's about the right to marry someone. The one. Who, you know, so that when we find the one that we want to marry, that we have the right. Not just like, oh, I want to marry someone. It's like, I want to marry someone. So I talked about that.
That's beautiful, Mitchell.
I sort of took it a gay step further and I said, someone to hold you too close. Someone, and I started to quote Sondheim. I mean, is there anything gayer?
No, but I love that you did that.
I did, and I have to say something. Well, it's so funny you say that because before the wedding, I'm a total crybaby. Anyone knows me, I am a fucking crybaby. Yeah. I would cry at...
This is why you and I are friends.
Yeah, I cry at commercials.
I love to cry at weddings.
Yeah,
any kind of wedding.
Exactly. I'm the worst. So I was freaked out. I was freaked out because I wanted it to be beautiful. I mean, I'm a performer and I've never been more nervous in my life. I looked fabulous.
I saw the pictures.
Oh,
you did.
My suit.
They didn't tell you what to wear, but you obviously went and got a beautiful suit.
You better believe I did. It turns out John and I, the groom and I, had almost the same suit and decided to wear a pink shirt.
Yeah.
You
looked beautiful.
We looked like father and son.
Well, I thought that they had probably told you or that they
no,
that
total
you had gotten...
accident. And then
because obviously the bridesmaids all had dresses that were
they were all black the same. And the groomsmen wore black. The bride wore this designed by Mara Blumenfeld, who's a very well-known costume designer.
Looking Glass.
Looking Glass, Goodman, the opera. And she designed a dress for Amy that fit Amy like,
beautiful.
I mean, just gorgeous. And it was sort of like a silver with a hint of sea greenish, bluish. Mm-hmm. It just was stunning. And so the wedding was, just talking about the wedding was, I mean, for example, one of his best friends, this guy named Alan. Alan said, they grew up together, said to John's mother, "Mazel tov," right? Mm-hmm. I burst into tears. The friend says to the mother, "Mazel tov," and I'm already crying. This is like six times removed from the actual wedding. Yes. I'm like, I'm screwed. So luckily,
this is not at the wedding. This is like before the wedding.
This is like 20 minutes before.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm screwed. So luckily, I had Megan there, and who I've talked about a lot, Big
Megan
Red.
Megan Murphy, Big Megan. Red.
And I said to Megan, "Do me a favor, remind me when you're sitting watching, get my eye contact and remind me to take a deep breath so that I don't cry." So she did, and then she sort of gestured to me, take a deep breath, and I took the shallowest, most unprofessional actor breath ever, and she looked at me like, seriously? And so she made me do it again, and I took a really, really a good, deep, solid soul breath. Mm-hmm. And I did not cry, but when I started into the Sondheim, the groom burst into tears.
Oh.
He didn't even know what I was quoting.
Oh, he had no clue.
No, he's a straight dude. He didn't even know
He
doesn't even know what I'm quoting. And Amy did. And literally everybody was crying. This is how I knew it went well. Amy's brother is this just amazing man named Rich. He and his wife live in Chicago, and they were there. And Rich is just a fabulous, fabulous guy. And I mean, this is going to make me cry telling the story. So we finish. John and Amy are walking away. We sort of walked away to the entire congregation singing "You're My Best Friend" by Queen that Megan was leading, which was amazing. We did it like a flash mob.
Uh-huh.
Like somebody started playing guitar and then Megan started to sing. Nobody knew that she was going to stand and sing.
Oh.
And then two other people started to harmonize. Nobody knew that they were planted to harmonize. All the groomsmen pulled out the kitchen.
Oh my God, how did you all plan
it with Alan, who's the, you know, mazel tov to the mother. Alan is a very successful musician, composer.
Oh.
And so we worked it all out. And so it ended up being like, and then we got the whole congregation to sing along. So as John and Amy walked away, right?
I love
we're
that.
All singing "You're My Best Friend." So it was so good. Just so good.
And somebody Amy videoed this thing,
yes.
Right?
Please Amy jokes that I didn't officiate her wedding, I directed her wedding. And so Amy's brother Rich.
And you brought a star singer with Megan Murphy there.
Yeah, I mean, we loaded the deck.
Yeah.
So Amy's brother comes up to me and he's just sobbing, right? He's this like grown man, and he gives me the biggest hug, and he's crying on my shoulder. He's like crying, literally just, "Thank you so much for my sister and for my father and their mother who wasn't there, that their mother passed away, and for my it was so beautiful." And I thought, oh, I just nailed this. I nailed this.
Did you write it down before you went up there?
I did. I wrote some of it down. I wrote most
of
bullet points,
so you can
right.
talk
a lot of bullet points, but I wrote some of it. I had it just in case, because I sort of played with I played with the tradition, because they're not traditional people in a lot of ways, but I wanted it to have a feel, so I played with things like
but you had it
for
rooted.
Richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in chaos and in calm, in silliness and in seriousness, in Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Chicago, in good times and bum times, and I played with those sorts of things. Mm. The one traditional thing I did, and maybe this is, I mean, who knows, maybe I would get called a sexist for this or whatever, but the one thing I did keep in was, "You may now kiss your bride."
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something about, I don't know.
I love that.
I just think that, like, I want to be the bride too. I have fantasies of having someone say that to me.
Yeah.
You know, that either I'm kissing my bride, groom, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so I just, as much as Amy, literally, they did not care what I said, traditional mm-hmm. and non-traditional, I thought, I'm keeping that one in.
Well, and it's nice too, because the people who are attending this
yes.
wedding,
there's
it gives
touchstones.
Them a structure and it gives them a thing to, like, kind of hold on to, like, anchors. Than without. And, you know, and yet what it kind of does is it kind of also shows, you know, what else you brought to it. And
yes.
that was so personal.
How we changed a little bit. So I personalized it. I told the story of how I introduced John and Amy and how John sort of dropped the ball and I had to sort of reintroduce them and how I sort of like manipulated that situation so that John could sort of slip in again, get a mm-hmm. second chance, because he sort of got intimidated mm-hmm. by Amy because she's a powerful, powerful woman. And I'm not that John isn't a powerful man, but
yeah.
She's a powerful lady, and I think he just was like, "Whoa, this is too real."
Yeah.
And so I told that story, and then so when I said, "You may now kiss your bride," they kissed. People applauded. And at that moment, that's when Alan started to play "You're My Best Friend." Oh. Just at that moment.
Did they do rings with you too, and all that?
They did ring. We did rings. They had their own vows.
Oh, they had written their own vows.
Just gorgeous, gorgeous. Here's a funny story about sort of tradition. One of the days I was there, John and I had to run a bunch of errands because of all this legal stuff. We had to go to the city of Dennis, which is the closest sort of city.
Right, because you were not exactly official.
Right, exactly. So we had to make it official and sign these things. So we had this great day where it's just the two of us running errands, which was super necessary to just, like, you know, as guys and just could connect and figure out what's going on. And he was saying to me that his brother, who was his best man, was like, "My brother, he's not, like, super into public speaking, so, like, I want him to know that he doesn't have to make a speech if he doesn't want to after
they had a rehearsal reception
in Provincetown at this gorgeous restaurant. It was ridiculously beautiful, ridiculously beautiful.
Such good Portuguese food there.
Ooh, so everything was so good. So after they got married and they walked away and we sang "You're My Best Friend," then we all went in, had cocktails and oysters and shrimp and champagne, you know, whatever cocktails. And then John and Amy sort of took a private moment. And then when they came back in, I made a little announcement of them. And then...
This was after the wedding.
Right after the wedding, before dinner. Yeah. Right? Before dinner and then before dancing. So anyway, so John was saying, "I don't want Michael to feel like he has to do this." And I was like, okay. And I was like, so if it comes up, I should tell him that. And John's like, yeah, I mean, I don't want you to, like...
dissuade him or...
Or whatever. But, like, if it... Or even tell him that we talked about it. But, like, if it comes up, if he asks you for advice about it, because he knows that you're making... You know, you're doing this. And,
yep.
So it did come up later. Michael came up to me. Michael's a sweetheart who I'd never met before. John's brother. Mm-hmm. Just a sweetheart and his fabulous girlfriend. And he said, "Oh, I'm really nervous about this." And I said, "Well, I want you to know that I just talked to John. And John said he does not want you to feel pressure to actually have to do this." "That's what your brother said. I'm telling you, nut up and make a speech." So I'm overriding what your brother just said in his own wedding, because you do not want to be the guy 10 years from now who's a little bit more mature and goes, "Oh God, I didn't make a speech at my brother's wedding."
Yeah.
You got to make a speech at your brother's wedding, even if all you say is, "I love you." Mm-hmm. That's it. And then he knocked it out of the park. It was so beautiful. And he made it all about Amy, because there's three brothers in that family. And so this idea of, like, having a sister. And, and he nailed it. It was so beautiful. So it was like tradition, not tradition. And like I said, then we... You know, it was a cocktail hour and so many... I probably had 40 oysters, raw oysters. I mean, I'm not kidding. They're just literally...
You're like a fish.
And they're literally from Wellfleet. I mean, it's like we're in Wellfleet. They're coming out of the water in Wellfleet.
Wow.
And then just being put on the on the ice. It's that. Yeah. We're that close to the water. We're on the water.
Yeah.
Dinner was amazing. Dancing was amazing. So the wedding, just the whole week was just really phenomenal and... I think sort of more than everybody even hoped for.
Mm.
Yeah, it was just one of those perfect experiences.
Was there a wedding planner, or did they kind of orchestrate this? They kind of...
John, Amy, and I. I mean, when I got back from the ship, I said, "Okay, what's the plan? What's the story?" And they were like, "Oh God, well..."
They'd reserved the space.
Yes, we reserved the space. They'd reserved the caterers and the florists and stuff.
But, like,
that.
What everybody was going to do and
all that sort of stuff. We were like, "Let's put this together. Let's make this let's make this work." So it's great. One of my best friends from home drove up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Following Sunday to get me and Megan, and we spent the day in Provincetown, went to eat and did some touristy things.
Had she been to P-Town?
Megan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Megan's been to P-Town because she went to school in Boston.
Oh, right.
She randomly ran into a college friend of hers in P-Town.
Of course she did.
And I actually ran into a friend earlier that week, random.
Because
that's what happened to the universe.
Because you're of the GLBT community.
Exactly, we're all there. Went down to Rhode Island. So then we went down to Rhode Island. My friend has this gorgeous house in West Kingston, Rhode Island, which is... very close to the beach, southern Rhode Island, where I then was met by my friend Book, who I've talked about many times, my young straight friend Book. And he joined me. We basically spent 3 days going to the beach, hanging out in Providence and sitting in a hot tub. Then there was 4th of July.
Now, Patrick's still with you, too? Pat's still
No, Pat
with
was him? Actually now as his mom's. Okay. After the wedding, because Pat was also in the wedding.
Right.
Pat was at his mom's house, who she lives up before you start to go out to the Cape.
So you're kind of by yourself now in Rhode Island.
And so then on 4th of July, at Louise's house, she has this gorgeous house in the woods. She had a party for, like, all of our friends of the last 30 years. So it was like a big chill.
Mm-hmm.
It was like all of my dearest, closest friends all together.
So interesting. You're still close with all these people from Rhode
Island. Really close.
Are these high school friends?
Some high school, some college.
Because you were in school there too.
In Rhode Island, went to school in Rhode Island. And so like people came up from New Jersey, people came in from Connecticut, you know, people came in from New York City, people came down from, Massachusetts. And so it was an amazing party all day, you know, just food and fun. And then I went up to Providence and had a couple of nights in Providence with my friend Jim, and did the bars and had probably top three one night stands of my whole life.
Ooh, in Providence.
His name was Gabriel.
It speaks well of Providence.
Oh my God. Oh, it does. I mean, there's so many beautiful boys in Providence. I mean, beautiful ladies too. But there's so many beautiful boys in Providence, it hurts your teeth. It's like these gorgeous Italian, Portuguese boys. And so this boy came up to me. We were out hanging, and this boy just attached himself to my side. And I was like, I kept thinking, men my age will understand this. I kept thinking, what's this kid's, he was young, he was like, I think he was 24. I was like, what's this kid's deal? What's his angle? Like, what does he want from me? Mm-hmm. I thought, I mean, in my most cynical side of me was like, is he a prostitute? I'm not kidding.
Does he want money?
Seriously, like, what does he want from me? And we just had this, you know, for those people, especially for gay men who have, you know, hookups or these sort of one night stands, you'll understand what I mean. Like, it was one of those ones that was like, it wasn't just sex. It was like, we had this like crazy fun night. He ended up coming back with me to Jim's. Like, literally, he was like, I want to come home with you. And I was like, I'm staying on my friend Jim's huge, gorgeous leather couch. And he was like, oh, you mean Jim, who I've been hanging out with all night? I said, yeah, Jim. So he was like, excuse me. He walks over to Jim and he goes, Jim, I'd like to come back to your house and spend the night with Mitchell on your big, beautiful leather couch. And Jim looked at me like, yeah? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay. So got there, Jim goes to bed. And then Gabriel and I just had one of those crazy nights where we just giggled and ate popcorn and drank cocktails and had really great sex.
I love to say, you are.
I keep on telling the story, but I mean, it was amazing. Next night, crazy dinner at Federal Hill, which if you've been to Rhode Island, Federal Hill is like, if Providence is the Italian capital of America, Federal Hill is the Italian capital of Providence. It literally looks like Italy. I mean, it's like these squares and like, I mean, it's so beautiful and old world. You literally feel like you're in some other country.
Now, are you getting around by a car?
Yeah.
You had a car?
I didn't have a car. People just come and get me. I mean, you're only 45 minutes from one end of
the
world.
Okay, because I was going to say, it's interesting, the proximity of like all these little states.
It's the big thing about New England
and...
because Rhode Island is literally like 45 minutes to an hour from one side to the other.
It's interesting when we say like all these, you know, almost all, well now actually do they all? All of New England has gay marriage.
All of New England.
So it's really interesting because it's almost like, you know, it's all together, it's not the state of Texas or the state
absolutely,
of
exactly,
Illinois,
right,
practically,
from
or
Vermont,
anything.
New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Maine, right? Exactly. Right. It's you can wake up in Rhode Island, have lunch in Maine, and be home home, you know, by like a late dinner.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous. So then Pat picked me up. He was at his mother's house, which was about an hour away because I was in the north part of the state. Mm-hmm. Then we drove to Western Mass, which is where his other family lives. And they live in the lesbian capital of the universe.
Oh, do tell.
Northampton, Mass, which is right at Smith College.
Uh-huh.
Near UMass Amherst as well. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful. So there was this day that Pat had to drive to Vermont to pick up something. So he just sort of dropped me off in town. And I literally killed 5 hours in this tiny, sleepy little New England town on this beautiful, cool day.
Sure.
And I just went shopping, and I got sushi, and I chatted with lesbians and transgendered folks. And like, it's the crunchiest.
Northampton?
It's the crunchiest, granola-est, lesbianic, delicious, happiest, intellectual, like, just all the shops are so fabulous. And like, there's a whole shop that's just like, everything in it's made from hemp. Right?
Right.
And like, and then there's just like, just coffee shops and like, I mean, I think it's a one
bookstores,
used bookstores, and like everything has everything. You know, everything has gay and lesbian everything in it. And it was just stunning. Mm. And then we get to do this thing. The people we were staying with, friends' parents who are also my friends. They took us to, they changed their plans and they got us tickets to go to Jacob's Pillow. Jacob's Pillow is an 85-year-old dance festival, famous dance festival that's in the Berkshire Mountains, which is about hour and 20 minutes from their house.
Wow.
Because they're just outside the Berkshires. So you're driving to the Berkshire Mountains and couched in the Berkshires, is this stunning, rustic place with several theaters, several buildings, an outdoor stage. And as you're looking at the outdoor stage, what's behind you is just the majestic Berkshire Mountains, and the people perform there. And then we went inside and we saw this amazing dance troupe from Brazil. And then we literally left from there and then drove all the way home. And we drove immediately to Megan's pink show at Big Red's
Cabaret. I know, which I missed.
I mean, literally just drove. So my journey was like Western Pennsylvania, different parts of Cape Cod, Truro, Wellfleet, Provincetown. Then I went to West Kingston, Rhode Island. Then I went to Narragansett, Rhode Island. Then I went to Providence, Rhode Island. Then we went to Northampton, Massachusetts. I mean, and then we went to the Berkshires, and it was so, every leg of it, I kept thinking to myself, I can't believe how blessed I am. Like, everywhere was more gorgeous than the last. Everywhere I met, I saw dear, dear, dear old friends, made new ones. Ate just such delicious food with people that I love so dearly. And
see, I want to do this part of the country so desperately, and part of me wanted to do it this summer, late this summer, but then I just realized that it was just going to be all booked up because, you know, obviously people from the big cities in that part of the world, you know, the Manhattanites and stuff like that, you know, go to New England.
Right, they do. I'll tell you what, here's the best kept secret.
I got to plan it.
And I've said this to other people before. We've talked about how much I love Rhode Island. Rhode Island is one of those places where people do go to the Cape, right? They will go to Cape Cod, or they'll go to Fire Island or Long Island, right? Not Long Island, like the Hamptons, stuff like that. But Rhode Island, not that it doesn't have a huge tourist thing, but like people go to Newport, Rhode Island, which is gorgeous. And if you're in Rhode Island, you have to go to Newport. If you've never been.
I've been to Newport. That's the only place I've been.
Okay, but then if you just go back across the bridge, then you're in Jamestown. You're in you're in Narragansett. Narragansett is where I would suggest you stay. Get a little B&B in Narragansett, right on Narragansett Pier, and then venture out from there. But keep your home base in this tiny, sleepy.
I like being in a tiny, sleepy place and then day trip out.
And then day trip out, because then you can go up to Providence, which is literally 35 minutes away.
Yeah.
Or you can go to Newport, or you can go to Jamestown, or all these different beautiful places. You can go farther south to like Charleston Beach, which is really gorgeous, and as you're heading towards Mystic, Connecticut. And but one of the interesting things I wanted to sort of mention was how I haven't been to Providence in many years.
Provincetown.
Provincetown, right, going back to the Cape.
The gay Mecca. Been since I was 21 years old.
It's probably been that long for me too.
About
5 years.
It was the year I came out, and I was so excited to go to a shop called Don't Panic that made these gay t-shirts.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Don't Panic was a t-shirt company. It was really big in the 90s, so I am dating myself now. And I had a t-shirt. I had two t-shirts I bought there. One said, "I'm not gay, but my girlfriend is." And I had another t-shirt that I wore for years and years and years that said, "I can't even think straight."
Brilliant.
And they still have
those stores.
And I used to love it that you could like stay at a gay B&B, you could go whale watching, and then one day, and then the next day you could like wake up and have breakfast and then go see a noon drag show.
Right.
Drag show at noon, and then go to a tea dance, go sit a slip a cocktail where people are dancing.
Dancing on a boat slip.
And then, and then have this wonderful Portuguese, awesome, seafood dinner. And then while you're walking home, Kate Clinton passes by, walks past you. And probably just finished her set at some little place.
I used to go when I was younger.
Comedian Kate Clinton. That is no connection to Bill or Hillary.
For those of you who don't know.
If you're too young to know who Kate Clinton is,
so
look her up.
When I was younger, you know, it was fascinating because there were so many gay people, you know, and so many gay couples, and it still is. And yet,
the straights are there.
They are.
And it's like Boys Town, Chicago.
Or Andersonville. In that everybody's together, right? So that you see this like 70-year-old lesbian couple that have clearly been together and lived there
for 50 years.
Owned the B&B, and they only come in the summer, right, to open up the B&B, whatever. Although it's actually beautiful to go there off-season, too. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're not a person who goes to the beach and you just want the beautifulness of it, off-season is cheaper and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But there's so many young families, so many kids, so many straight people. It's sort of paradise because you're not going to go there if you're not gay friendly, because why would you choose there?
Right.
Because you are going to be the minority.
Yeah.
Although not so much anymore.
Well, and I realized that when I was there, you know, 20 years ago, almost, that like, you know, it's like, if you're straight, you are the minority.
It's funny because it's sort of balanced out during high tourist season.
Yeah.
People who live there, you are the minority. But what's beautiful is that there's an understanding that you are in a place where there are gay people and there are gay couples and there are gay families and there are children of gay people and there are gay-owned... I mean, I would have to... I mean, if I had to guess, I would say 80% of the businesses in that town are gay-owned. So you're not...
Yeah.
You're not going there unless you're down with it. And part of the reason, the appeal, I think, for a lot of young straight couples or young families is that you can go to a place that's celebratory and there's partying, except we're not partying like frat boys.
No.
Right? I mean, not that boys, not that gay boys don't. We do.
Yes.
But they're...
More so.
Right.
Actually.
But it's not that like drunken, scary, like where it's going to be inappropriate. It's like the, you know... The freaks come out at night. You know, when it's time to go party, the boys are doing it appropriately. But during the day, it's
just vacationing.
The most loving.
It feels like vacationing and fun.
It's just so loving and beautiful. And there's gay flags everywhere. And there's people watching to die for. And there's street performers. And, I mean, it's just physically one of the most beautiful places in the world. And so it was interesting to see in the maybe 15 years since I've been to Provincetown, if it's actually been that long, I guess it... No, it hasn't been that long, but how much it is integrated gay and straight. And I think some people maybe bemoan that a little bit.
I bet.
I think it's paradise. Mm. I think it's the sign of evolution. Mm. We're all there together in this beautiful place, and you know, it's like you're standing there with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your gaggle of gay boys that just took the ferry over from Boston because you took the train up from New York, and you're getting ice cream at Lewis Brothers Ice Cream, which is all homemade ice cream, which by the way was what John and Amy had for dessert. They hired Lewis Brothers and they send their truck, and so. At some point during the reception, a truck, ice cream truck pulled up and just got ice cream, shakes, banana splits, cones, whatever you wanted them to make. And they even had like a special flavor that they'll make for you.
Wow.
So it's like John and Amy's ice cream flavor that they designed. So you go to Lewis Brothers, so you're getting a cone, and then there's this, you know, straight couple from Connecticut who came and
Well, I
beautiful.
Do remember that even for me, my perception all those years ago was that, And when I thought about going to New England this year, I thought, you know, I'd go to P-Town. And that was when I was exploring places to stay in P-Town where I went, I've planned this too late. Like, I've thought about this too late. But I did go, oh, I'd like to go back there. And maybe I will go on off season. Because I care less about going to here. Like, I live in Chicago. So I do think a lot of people who choose to go to Provincetown who are not from that area, sometimes they want to just go somewhere where they can be that out and be that open, which I live in a place that I feel like I can be that out and they can be that open. But at that time, I was living in Memphis, Tennessee. And so I'd never been anywhere like this. And I'd just come
out.
Like
a Mecca.
Like a Mecca, you know? And I just remember...
Yeah, go in September.
I'd been there. That would be nice. I'd been there like a couple of days, right? And I remember I was walking around with my then girlfriend, and you know, I actually remember what was kind of odd to me was that there was this family, man, woman, and two little kids, boy and a girl, looked like the perfect American family, Caucasian, you know, whatever, from that area, cartoon of that. And the little, one of the children was, the little boy, I think, was like almost an infant, like two, you know, like itty bitty or younger. And then the little girl was like, you know, she was like 6 years old. She's like a little person, you know, eyes open, looking around. And as you know, in Provincetown, they have all those areas where all the businesses have like sandwich boards out, you know, barking whatever's going on. If there's a show going on in the afternoon or what times the shows are or specials.
And somebody's roller skating down
there. Yeah, whatever. So we're like standing there and I don't know that we were standing in line for this show, but there was, we were near, maybe we were getting tickets for something that night or something. I don't know. We were standing in line. And there was this little girl, and she was like staring at the sandwich board, and it had this picture, and I can't remember the performer right now because I told him this story years later because I think I interviewed him back in the Les By Gay radio days. But there was a picture of him. I think his name was Jim. It was black and white when headshots were black and white. Actors' headshots were black and white. And it was a guy, and he was in a nice suit, and he had kind of like, you know, 1990s George Michael's hair. And then there was a picture below, kind of... on a different angle right below with same said performer dressed as Marilyn Monroe. So
oh,
he was
I know
in
who
the,
that is.
He's an illusionist, yeah, right? Yeah. And the little girl was like, stand at the sandwich board, which is almost as tall as she was. And she was like, staring at this picture, and her little head, like my dog sometimes when I say, when you go outside, is like, turn to the side. Yeah. And she was like, Daddy, what is this? And I was just overhearing this. Like, it's so funny that, like, I remember this conversation decades later. And the little girl was like, Daddy, what is this? And she pointed at the sandwich board, and she goes, I just love this. It was like, this to me was what you just said, evolution.
Right.
And that was back then. He, like, looked at her, and he goes, well, honey, that is this actor, and he does Marilyn Monroe. And he pointed his finger to one picture and to the other and, like, linked them and said, this is an actor, and he does Marilyn Monroe. He performs as Marilyn Monroe. And I just looked at the little girl, and she was like, oh. And just
amazing.
Consciousness of like, oh, that's what that is. Yeah. That links that photo to this.
That's why that place like that is paradise. I'm going to tell a very quick story that happened just the other night. That's sort of unrelated, but it goes back to a story I told about my friend's daughter Samantha.
In our show about going to Chattanooga.
Exactly
and talking about
right.
Lee and Corey Monteith.
Exactly, and her sort of response. I was at their house for dinner just the other night. Maybe it was Monday night.
You were at Julie and Jeff's?
I was at Jeff and Julie's.
Jeff and Julie's?
Yes.
You call Jeff and Julie. I call them Julie and Jeff.
Jeff,
and
exactly.
I'll almost
and
threw
so,
you.
Is that funny, right? I do it because they're alphabetical, J-E-J-U.
It's okay.
And so I'm at Jeff and Julie's, and Pat was cooking. We were having family dinner, which the Midnight Circus does a lot. We have family dinner. So Pat was cooking, and Pat went outside, and Julie wasn't home yet. Max had a photo shoot because, you know, he's on a TV show. Do you know this? That's all
I
this trick.
Well,
anyway, so Samantha announces that all the boys had to go outside. And she was like, that means you, Daddy. And so I was like, oh. And so then I start to go. And Abby was also there, who she loves, who Samantha loves. And Abby's super girly and adorable, Pat's girlfriend. So
and is a member of the Midnight Circus. Walks
yes, exactly. So gorgeous Abby. So then I start to go. And she goes like, oh, no, you can stay, Mitchell. And I was like, well, why can I stay? And she said, well... And this, I mean, talk about out of the mouth of babes, right? She goes, well, you can stay because you kind of understand both. And I was like, why do you say that? And she's like, well, because you're a boy, but you understand girls too. And I thought, what a brilliantly perceptive child. Like, she wasn't saying in any way that was weird.
No.
It was simply the fact. And I thought, that's
understanding
that
you straddle
the line. That's exactly who I am.
That's exactly who you are. She saw you.
She saw me so clearly. And
how beautiful is that?
So beautiful. Like, at one point, she came up to me and she was like, they let her have like this little fake makeup kit, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, and so, like, this little like lip stuff. You know, she's like, do I need to put more lipstick on. And I was like, I think you do, actually. I think it's faded a little bit. She's like, okay, well, tell me if I'm putting on too much. And so I thought, what a brilliant perception. You know, she's not confused about it.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to her. Isn't
Thank
that gorgeous?
God. Thank God the generations to come.
Thank God the generations to come, and something that I talk about all the time, which is our allies. Thank God for parents like Jeff and Julie.
Thank God. And then for the parent who says, that's a man and he does Marilyn.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
No judgment.
And when we're all able to hang together and have family dinners or go to Provincetown or be in Chattanooga together.
Or have your gay friend marry. Or have a straight person marry gay people.
Yes.
However that goes down,
right?
Yeah.
That's evolution.
I'm going to miss you. He's going away for a few weeks. We'll tell you actually where he's going when he comes back.
I'm going to another fabulous beachside place on the other coast.
We hate you.
I'm hateable.
And you look fat.
That hurt.
I know. All right, everybody. Hope you have a good weekend. Thank you for traveling a little bit with Mitchell and I.
Yes, thanks for indulging my stories.
Our summer excursions. We just like sharing little bits of ourselves with you.
Yeah, that's what this
was
about.
We couldn't share much more than that.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.